Good morning. My name is Caroline Caswell, and our scripture reading comes from the book of Acts, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 13. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames of tongues or of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things that God has done." They stood there, amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're drunk, that's all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God."
I wonder if you've ever had to hand anything over. Maybe hand off some of your responsibilities. Maybe give over what is no longer yours and it's over to somebody else to take over what you have once been responsible for. Today, we celebrate the holy handoff. My name is Pastor Keith. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And today we're celebrating Pentecost, which is the birth of the church. Not this church, not the Methodist church, not the Protestant church, not the Roman Catholic church, not the Orthodox church, but the church, or the Apostolic Church. Amen? We celebrate the time when the presence of the Lord filled the people that were gathered. And today we celebrate the holy handoff. Celebrate the responsibilities going from God over to the people. The people picking up what God has done in them. It's a holy handoff. One of the most watched races during the Summer Olympics is the 4x100 meter relay. You guys watch it? The 4x100 meter. Everybody watch it. It's the most thrilling 41 seconds of your entire life. The responsibility is for you to pass on the baton that passes around the people in around the 400 meter circuit. Yeah, and there's the world record right now. It was set in 2012. It was set by Jamaica. And Jamaica have the current world record at 38.42. And the women have the record at the moment as 40 seconds and 40.12 seconds. And who holds that? USA. Some of you don't know that. USA holds the record for that. And the idea is to pass the baton on to another athlete. And the other athlete catches the baton within 20 meters of going around the 400-meter track. And there's different ways to catch it, up this way, down this way, down this way. But if the athlete doesn't catch the baton in the 20 meters, they're disqualified. And there's all sorts of philosophies and psychology of which athlete goes where on the track. They got to pass the baton over three times and get it to the finish line. And the first person is often the fastest person, the fastest person off the blocks. And the baton has got to be held in the hand the entire time. When you get to the second person, that person has to be fast on the flats. And they take it over in the 20 meters that they've got. And there's a whole philosophy of which athlete goes where. The athlete that goes on the bend's got to be the shortest person because they've got the lower center of gravity and they can get around the bend the fastest. The third person's got to be the fastest down the straight. And they take the baton. You've got to have the baton the whole time. The most interesting psychology, the most interesting athlete is the final athlete. And the final athlete's called the anchor athlete or the anchor man, the anchor that sets the final goal. And the anchor man is not the fastest. The anchor athlete, the athlete that takes on at the end, is not the fastest athlete. Moreover, it's the athlete with the most psychological power to be able to take on the baton and run as fast as they could, no matter what the circumstances. So if the athlete is behind, there's runners ahead of him, that person has enough skill, adaptability, to be able to take that baton and run even if they are behind. And there's a whole philosophy around this and a whole coaching that goes on around this. And in her book, in Myrna van Niekerk's book, she talks about in the Prepare the Mind for Competition, she says the anchor athlete should be the one who thrives under pressure, is mentally adept to accept the baton in that last 20 meters of the race and still have the same mindset when they realize they're behind, that they can still do it. That they can still have the expectation that they're able to win the race. It's the final handoff. The final athlete has the expectation, has the psychological power, has the heart to, even though he can see an athlete ahead, even though she can see there's been a lot of mess ups before they got there, they can get the baton and go. Expectation. There was an expectation in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. There was an expectation for the Jews who gathered for Pentecost. Pentecost, Penti is 50. It's 50 days after Passover. Now, a good Jew was required to go to three festivals. The first festival being Passover, the next one, the Feast of the Tabernacles, and the one that we celebrate today, Pentecost. Pentecost was a Jewish celebration, a Jewish feast. And when you gather for Pentecost, you would go to Jerusalem. If you could go to Jerusalem, you'd go to Jerusalem. And when you got to Jerusalem, it's packed with Jews everywhere waiting to hear from God. There's an expectation that God was going to do something in their life when they got there. Of course, they had to go. That was kind of part of the law kind of thing. But they had an expectation when they got there that God was going to do something in their lives and in their community. There was lots of people gathered. And Pentecost celebrated two things. First off was Moses coming down the mountain with the commandments, with the law, celebrating that they had that it helps them regulate and order their lives so they can put themselves in a place where they can experience Yahweh. And the second is they celebrated the harvest, and they would get the bread, and they would take the bread. The priests would come out with the bread, and they'd lift the bread up high like this and wave it around. Thank God for the harvest. And they had the bread in their hands, and that's the two things they celebrated. And so they were gathered in Jerusalem on this day. They were gathered ready for this event. And this is where we are in our scripture. I'm going to read bits of it for you. Open your Bible just so you can follow along. You might see something a little different if you've got your Bible with you. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. I'll read again. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongue of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. So they were all gathered there, not just the Jews, but the Jews who believed in the way, and Jews that were following Jesus. So Jews and the believers, the followers of the way, were there gathered, and they were ready for something to happen. They were ready for something to happen because Jesus said to them, I will send you the comforter. I will send you the counselor, and the counselor will meet you in Jerusalem. So they were there, expectant. And they were gathered. What were they gathered in? Were they gathered in a large cathedral? Were they gathered in and amongst the Sanhedrin, in and amongst the religious leaders? Were they gathered in the tabernacle where the Jews always went? No, they were gathered in a house. There was about 120 people there gathered in this house. And Luke writes in Acts, when he looks around, he sees what looks like tongues of fire on their heads. Imagine that. Tongues of fire on their heads. It's kind of like the red lights here kind of thing. I don't know whether Luke, but it looked like they had tongues of fire on their heads. A mighty windstorm came through. Something was happening at this house. This is the house. This is the place to be. Something was going on. And everyone present there was filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember that bit. We're going to get back to that at the end. Everyone present there was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages. Now, the word there is not utterances. It's not glossolalia. It's languages. Languages that each person knew. Languages that, so for us today, it would be Spanish and French and Russian and Ukrainian. All these different languages were being spoken in this place. And different people heard their language being spoken. This was amazing. This was amazing that God would allow this to happen, that they would hear their own language. And these people were gathered hearing this thing. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native language. Devout Jews from every nation. They were all there because that's what they were told to do. That was the law. If you were a good Jew, you went to Pentecost. And these Jews were from everywhere gathered. And they heard this loud noise. What happened when they heard this loud noise? They went running. They went running to see what was going on. They didn't go running towards the denomination. They didn't go running towards the church. They didn't go running towards the great assembly of religious leaders that were gathered. They went running to hear the voice of God, amen? They went to hear what was going on over there. What the? They went to hear the voice of God. That's what they'd gone to Pentecost for anyway. That's why they'd gone to Jerusalem in the first place. They went running to hear this sound. They went running to hear, to see what God was doing in and amongst these people's lives. And they ran to this house. They ran to this house of the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. And they were bewildered. They were amazed. I love the words that Luke used in the original Greek here. I just love these. These never get old for me. Existumai and thamazo. They were thamazos with what was going on. The three main words that means is that they were in awe. They were in marvel. They were marveled at what they see. They were wowed. They were amazed. at what they saw in front of them. They looked around and seen what was going on. As they looked around and seen the flames, they looked around and heard the mighty winds that were coming around. They were in just awe of what was going on. And who was there? Who was present in this place? What kind of people? It says the people from Galilee were there. There was the people from up north where Jesus spent most of his time. Those little villages that nobody really cared about. Surely God can't fill those people. Those people from up north. Galileans were there. Who else was there? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene. Visitors from Rome. Both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. And they stood there, thamazoed. They stood there in wonder. They stood there in amazement. They were marveled at what God was doing in and amongst this little house. People speaking in their own languages. All sorts of people from different places in this one room. Notice that the Holy Spirit of God that Jesus said he would send down, Jesus who had just died, who had just been resurrected, who had just ascended into heaven, where he now sits interceding, praying for us, now says, sends the counselor down to Jerusalem, just like he said he would. Stay there in Jerusalem, and I will send you the counselor. I will send you the comforter. Let me tell you, the counselor is in the house, amen? He's right there. He's in the house, and the counselor is there, and he's setting this place on fire. He's setting the hearts of the people on fire. He's setting their heads on fire, and they're excited. 120 people, just 120 people, are receiving the holy baton. The 120 people are receiving the counselor, and it's coming right in here, and it's coming right in here. And the holy handoff starts to happen. The holy handoff comes to these people. What kind of people? It's not like the Holy Spirit all of a sudden was on its way down. It was like, scratch, and stop. Like, wait a minute. You're from Egypt. You have an awful history of being an oppressor. No, I'm not going near you. And it comes down, Holy Spirit comes down and stops. Like, wait a minute. You're English. No way are we going anywhere near you. You guys have a terrible history of slavery. Oh, wait a minute, you're a Republican, you're a Democrat, or whatever the political claims were of the day. No, I'm not going anywhere near you. The Holy Spirit didn't do that, did he? Praise God. He didn't look at us and say, wait a minute, you've done all this wrong. There's no way your people can receive God in a new way. You have that history. You're that church. You're that denomination. There's no way that we are going to fill you afresh and anew because you cannot handle it. The Holy Spirit didn't say that, did he? He came and filled them afresh and anew. Why? Why? Because they were expectant. They were ready for the holy handoff. They were ready for something new to come into their life. And they had all the Jewish history going on. They had all the law. They had all the things that they once did. The 613 commandments, the 10 commandments. They had all that going on. Yet still, when they gathered in Jerusalem, they were ready. They were ready, expectant. They had their hand ready for the handoff. And say, God, fill us. Fill us with something new. Fill us with the counselor. Fill us with the counselor so that we might know you in a mighty and powerful way. Oh, God, show us. And they were all around, sitting in the house, and everything was just wonderful and peachy, and they heard their own language being spoken. And you know, especially when I first moved here, when you hear somebody who speaks your language, who knows the words that you've said, that knows the words that you've said growing up, or knows a place, your ears prick up, right? You're like, oh, I got to talk to that person. You drop all your responsibilities. You drop the things that you're talking about. You go running over there like, hi, I'm from that place too. Like, what is it? How do you know this person? And your ears prick up. And you get excited. You get excited about the language that they're speaking. And that's what was happening in Jerusalem. People ran towards hearing people say the words that they were used to. And they thought that they could possibly work together at handing this off to other people too. They thought, well, maybe now that we've received it, now that they're speaking my language, maybe I could pass that off too. Now, you might be thinking, oh, it would have been great to have been there. I would love to have been in Jerusalem in the first century and just to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that day. I would have been loved to be there as everybody sat around and there was this like moment and the fire and the wind and everything blowing and everyone just sitting around so happy, regardless of what country they're on, regardless of what politics that people believed in, regardless of where they were from. They were sitting around, kumbaya, yay. And before you think that everything was perfect in Jerusalem on that day, before you think that all these languages got together and everybody believed, before you think that everything was just perfect on that day, read verse 13 with me. Verse 13 says this, but others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying what? They're just drunk. They're just drunk, that's all. They were in the crowd. Some people just don't get it. No matter if there's a great flaming tongue sitting on your head, no matter if there's a massive wind blowing through and the mighty God is showing up, some people were like, nah, you know what the heck's going on. Some people will start like making fun of you. Some people will like take a picture of you, distort it, and tweet it to other people and say, actually, they were doing this. And the keyboard warriors will get on their phones and on their computers and say, they're just talking a load of baloney. What the heck is going on over there? They started that fire themselves so that you would think that God was present. And the people who received the Holy Spirit was authentic and something happened in their life and they can give testimony to it. They don't care. They don't care what the people are saying. They don't care that the keyboard warriors are going crazy. All they care about is like hearing from this great experience again. And people are going to make fun of you if you depend on God. People make fun of you for all sorts of different reasons. Maybe it's their own insecurities. Maybe they don't like that flavor of church. Maybe they don't like the preacher. Maybe they don't like the comfort of the pew that they're sitting in. And they'll make fun of you. And they'll say all sorts of weird things. We're going to have communion today, and we're going to celebrate Jesus' presence through bread and juice. And people make fun of that all the time. And Jesus said, do this. People make fun of us for gathering and sharing with one another. But when the Holy Spirit of God is in our lives, when we are dependent on Christ, when we see something of God happening in our lives, we run towards it. We run towards like, oh, I want some of that. I see her in the changes that have gone in her life, and she looks so radiant. In fact, I can see God shining through her. When I see a redeeming element going on in his life. I'm excited. And God gives us a new language. And we get excited about the language that God talks about. He has been redeemed. He has been renewed. He has been renewed to a right relationship with God. He has a refreshing awareness of the Holy Spirit. We want some of that, amen? And the church needs this. The church, this church, the Methodist church, Protestant church, the Catholic church, the whole Orthodox church, the church apostolic needs a refresh, amen? And we've had church 1.3, we've had church 1.4, we've had church 1.5. What we need is church 2.0, amen? We need a refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Never before has the church in the last 500 years need more dependence upon the Holy Spirit. A fresh renewal in our church and in our presence. It's something to look towards and say, oh, I'm going to go running towards that. Not to the building, not to the Methodist church, not to a new church, not to a new trendy pastor with his new jeans on, but a new awareness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And when we get that, we hand that off. We hand that off to other people. This is what's going on in my life. It's going on right here. And we're ready. We've got our hands out ready to receive it and ready to run. We want something new to go on in our lives. We want to hand this off. It's complete. Today, we're going to experience the presence of God through communion. We're going to prepare our hearts that God will do something new and afresh in our life. Not individually, although that's good. Not just here in Palm Harbor, but overflowing onto the rest of the people into our community. You know who they are. You know you wish was here with you. I want you to prepare your hearts for communion as we take communion together.
Christ, our Lord, invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And now hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. And by the baptism of his suffering and death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered it from slavery, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread that was celebrated at the final Passover. And he gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. And on these gifts of bread and juice, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes again in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and your holy church, all honor and yours, and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to ask the communion servers to come to your stations at this time. And please, when the table is ready, you are welcome to go to the station nearest you. You will receive the bread and a cup, and there are receptacles to throw the cups away. If you need, if you need to be served at your seat, please raise your hand and servers will bring that to you. There are also gluten-free offerings at each station.
John Wesley believed that the communion rail, when we have communion together, when we partook of the bread and the juice, that it was a salvation moment. That it was a moment when people realized, oh, actually, that blood and that body is for me. He believed that the Holy Spirit was present there, descending upon you as you took the bread and the juice. Today, there is an opportunity for you to respond to that Holy Spirit when you take communion together. Maybe this is the first time that you realize that Christ died and Christ is resurrected for you, for your sin, and for you to live the fullest life that we have been talking about. So we're going to give you an opportunity. The kneelers are open. There's kneelers in the rear too if you want to spend time there. And when you decide to follow Jesus, some of you here might do that for the first time, we want you to text FOLLOW to this number. We're going to put it on the screen for you. 353-LOVE. And when you text FOLLOW to that number, someone will follow up with you and pray with you and be with you. And if you just want to come to the altar and put your hands out, and someone will be there to pray for you today. As we mentioned, the tables are open. Come and feast at his heavenly table. Amen.